Well, grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning. What comes to mind when I say the words, choose life? Or what do you think about if I ask you, what does choosing life mean to you? Now, if you're anything like me, my mind begins to shuffle through many different scenarios of choosing life. First, I think about is, what's life-giving? Like hiking, spending time with my family, spending time with my family at gatherings, of course, at Christmas and Thanksgiving, birthdays and the like, spending time with friends reminiscing about old times and creating new ones with new friends. Or in my introvertedness, spending time in solitude is life-giving. Watching golf or basketball, which my wife usually leaves me alone while I'm watching basketball. Or watching a movie, playing golf on my own, that is life-giving, usually most days. Yet, the question is not what is life-giving, the question is rather, how do we choose life? We are told in our first reading today from Deuteronomy that God has set before us both life and prosperity, death and adversity. To choose life means to love God, to listen to God by observing God's commandments, decrees, and ordinances, and to hold fast to God, walking in God's ways. Seems simple, but as an author of one of the commentaries declared, simple does not mean simplistic. Since the beginning of time, humans have been trying to figure out what it means to love God and observe God's commandments, to walk in God's ways. And we struggle in answering. We struggle in action. What does it mean to love God? The church has a horrible history when trying to figure all this out. From all the early church councils, as they tried to discover and define Christian theology, there has been conflict. One group characterizing Christian theology as how they understood it from reading Scripture, and how another group interpreted Scripture and how they understood theology. These councils, some were beneficial, but sometimes not. Many of them included violent conflict, often contained arguing and threats. Even the campaigns of the early church crusades thought they were choosing life as they went out under the banner of believe or die. Believe in God as we do, or we will wage war. This doesn't sound much like choosing life, but in their time, their theology, the church leadership endorsed the use of force to convert anyone, everyone, to follow God's commandments, decrees, and ordinances as they understood them. Even as our church founder, Martin Luther, wished for the Catholic Church to reform with other reformists, the Catholic Church had its own ideas of choosing life, and it led to war and aggression. It seems simple to choose life, follow God's ways, but whose interpretation of God's commandments do we follow? Everyone to this day has their own beliefs and of what following God means. And some are justified, some are not. Some have led to great works and ushering in the kingdom of God, and some have led to slavery or patriarchy or prejudice or intolerance, injustice, or worse. This conflict has been with us so long because the struggle is within us. Even when we wish to do the right thing and follow God, as we try to love God and choose life, we are torn between what we think God is asking and what we actually end up doing, all based on our desire to be right in following God. And for us to be right means someone else must be wrong. Simple, but not simplistic. There's a difference between being right for the sake of being right and being right by choosing life and following God's ways, which may shed some light on our gospel lesson today. Don't get me wrong, it's challenging, if not impossible, to rectify what Jesus is saying to the large crowds following him, especially as we interpret what Jesus says as it pertains to us. Luke 14, he says, whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, spouse and child, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciples. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Hate your family? Our loved ones? Even life itself, Jesus? How are we to choose life by hating it? Are we not right with God or following God's ways when we love our neighbor and our family and life itself? But Jesus is telling us to hate our families. These are harsh words Jesus is using. Yet Luke is writing in the Jewish tradition, as Carolyn J. Sharp, professor of Hebrew Scripture at Yale Divinity School, writes, in Jewish traditions, hate is used regularly in the animosity between actual enemies, to be sure. But it is also used in binary wisdom employing love and hate. They are model responses of discernment. Examples such as the wicked are said to hate discipline, justice, and knowledge, while the righteous hate wickedness, falsehood, and gossip. In Luke 14, 26, it's not advocating intense hostility towards kin and life, but rather promoting the steadfast refusal to allow something less valuable to display something more valuable. John Carroll observes that in Luke, the priority of the realm of God is pictured in the most extreme terms imaginable. Jesus is challenging listeners to embrace a singular commitment and allegiance to him. To put this in perspective, we hear in Matthew's gospel these similar words: whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves a son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Jesus is continually inviting us to consider the cost of carrying the cross. Jesus continues to invite us to meet him at the cross. He's not sugarcoating this message in any way, but gives three short parables that bring home the reality of what he is saying. There's a cost in choosing life and loving God. First, he gives us the parable of building a tower. No one wishes to be considered a laughingstock. No one builds a tower without first estimating how much it's going to cost. Next, he gives the parable of the king going out to war. And if your army is outnumbered 2-1, and no strategic planning offers victory or does not yield an advantage, you negotiate for peace before the enemy gets to your borders. Finally, to put it as bluntly as he can, Jesus says in verse 33, so therefore, none of you can become my disciples if you do not give up all your possessions. As one commentator puts it, he has another take on the way the Greek word for possessions is translated and writes this as a translation for verse 33. Therefore, whoever of you does not renounce their entire substance cannot be my disciple. Renounce your entire substance. This is the invitation to the cross we tried to avoid. Kicking and screaming, we really don't wish to go to the cross. It's what makes that our lesson today so difficult to hear. But Jesus is saying to choose life, we must first be willing to die. Die to ourselves, die to our family, die to our social status, our belongings, die to anything that we would place in front of our relationship with God. This is the conflict within us. The indecision to place God at the top of our priorities. But we are in good company. Jesus himself sought to avoid death and crucifixion. He was tempted not to go. He said in Luke 22, God, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yes, choosing life is emptying ourselves. And as we do, we are choosing God as top priority. Just as Jesus finished that statement in Luke 22, not my will be done, but yours. Now the good news is, no one's asking you to die. In the promise of the covenant through Jesus Christ, God comes and fulfills God's promise of salvation for all. God so loved the world, God gave God's only Son so that all will have eternal life. Jesus Christ has saved us, and we are off the hook for our salvation. We have been washed clean from our sin with the waters of baptism. We have died to sin, and we are reborn through the life-giving waters of grace and forgiveness. Reborn to live into the life-giving Spirit with that same grace and forgiveness for all people. Reborn to choose life, not to indulge ourselves with fancy banquets, rather to invite all people to the banquet table. By choosing life, we choose to be open to others. We are now free by dying to ourselves to act as Jesus acted. We are called to break through societal and cultural boundaries of injustice and bias. We are free to welcome those on the margins as Jesus did in the name of God and God's love and choosing life. One of the shortest books in the Bible is Philemon. We heard 21 of the 25 verses out of the whole book this morning. It is the shortest of the Apostle Paul's letters, but it has to do with choosing life. I mean, Paul has his issues, mostly around women and equality, but here in his letter to Philemon, he gets something right. He calls Philemon a dear friend, a co-worker, and a brother. Paul is pleading with Philemon to allow the love of God to pour through him as a witness to others by asking Philemon to release Onesimus. He is petitioning the release of Onesimus, a slave, a person perceived having no worth, a commodity to be bought and sold. Listen to these words again. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus. Doesn't sound like somebody hating a family member. Paul just adopted him, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but much more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. Paul is asking Philemon to choose life. Choosing life is giving God top priority. Dying to ourselves by meeting Jesus at the cross. In doing so, we are giving value to all life. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, we break down the barriers between us. We cross the boundaries that separate us. We continue to choose life and prosperity. Unfortunately, that still comes with death and adversity. But eternal life. I invite you to choose life in all that you do. Amen.